Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Psalm 91, in verse 14, the Lord says this. He says, because he has set his love upon me. Now, is that you? Is he talking about you? See, these verses, these couple verses we're going to read here, is written concerning those who have set their love upon him. So if you've set your love upon him, he's got some things to say. He says, therefore, I will deliver him. That's a good thing. I love the Bible scripture that says in Isaiah, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Now, the Bible does not say that no weapons will be formed against you. Well, now that you're a Christian, Jesus is your Lord, you don't have to worry. There'll be that weapons formed against you. Well, that's only half truth. The first part of that was correct. You don't have to worry. The second part isn't true. There will be weapons formed against you in this world, but you don't have to worry. In fact, you could be of good cheer about it, right? Because it all turns out for our good. Every weapon formed against you is going to backfire on the enemy in the long run. It's going to backfire on the enemy, and you will look back and say, wow, that turned out to be a blessing. Amen. So he says he will deliver him, the one that has set his love upon the Lord. I will, happy to know that's not everybody. Not everybody in the world has set their love upon the Lord. But for those that have set their love upon the Lord, let that be us. Let that be you. He says, I will deliver him. So it really isn't a guarantee for everybody, is it? Deliverance isn't guaranteed to every human being on the face of the earth. But it is guaranteed in writing by God for those who have set their love upon him. Some folks get that confused. They just think, well, God's good. He delivers everybody. Well, he's good, yes. And he desires to deliver everybody. But the ones he's actually able to deliver are those that set their love upon him because they have positioned themselves for him to be able to work on their behalf. We're loving him, not loving ourselves, not loving the things of this world. We're loving him. That puts us in a position for him to do the kind of things that he likes to do, which is to bless you, which is to bless humanity. So he says, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. God wants to lift you up. He wants to exalt you. Over in the book of James, it says, if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you in due time. He will lift you up. He wants to lift you up and he wants to set you there. He wants to make that a permanent place for you. He doesn't want you up and down. God's will for you is not a roller coaster ride full of ups and downs. No. His will for you is to be set on high, taken up high and set there. Just set there, established there. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Does God answer prayer? For everybody? No. For those that, what? Have set their love on him and who know his name. For them, he says, they'll call on me, and I will answer. I will answer. Well, in his timing, he'll answer. He'll answer immediately. When you ask, you will know you've got it. Jesus said, believe you receive when you pray. Believe when you pray that you got it. Not you're going to get it someday. But you got it when you prayed. Right there. Boom. God's not lazy. God's not sluggish. God moves quickly. He was quick. He delivers his promises fast. We got to be quick to receive, to position ourselves, to get it, to get what he's got for us. But God's quick. God can get it all done fast. He is light. He moves at the speed of light. Things can happen quick with God. But many times we're moving a little slow. But he's working with us. He's helping to pick up our pace. He's helping us to move quicker. Believe faster. Receive faster from him. Right? Rise up and ask and believe we receive it right there when we pray. A lot of folks don't even pray right away. A lot of folks explore all their options and do everything they can first in their own strength and exhaust all their resources until finally they go, you know what, we better pray. And then their friends say, has it come to that? You know, it's like the last resort. Oh, we better pray. Has it come to that? Amen. I have visited people, you know, Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, they're in the hospital room. You walk in, TV's blaring. You can't find a Bible anywhere. And you think, my Lord, you know, you're in a crisis. You'd think the Bible would be right there and the word would be on the tip of your tongue. But not so with so many. God's quick. We need to be quick. He's quick to believe. We need to be quick to pray. Quick to run to him. Quick to ask him. Quick to talk to him. A lot of people ask everybody. They tell everybody on Facebook before God even. You know, a lot of times God finds out about things through Facebook. I think he does. A lot of times through Facebook, God goes, oh, look, Charlie's got some issues. Wonder why he didn't come pray to me. He told the whole world about it before he told me. Verse 15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. He didn't say, if I'm with you, there'll be no trouble. God, where are you? I'm right here. Why is this all going on? It don't matter, I'm right here. I'll be with him in trouble. So we don't have to worry. It doesn't matter what kind of trouble there is. Trouble comes, trouble goes. But God is with us always. Always, even to the end of the world. He says, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. There it is again, right? He repeats that. I will deliver him. Doesn't matter what kind of thing tries to mess with you. I will deliver him and honor him, esteem him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Which that word salvation means deliverance from every evil thing, including hell, thank God. But he says, with long life, I will satisfy him. So God wants you to live a long and satisfying life. He wants you to live a long and satisfying life. We looked at the word satisfied. It means to be pleased, made happy. Made happy by meeting expectations and fulfilling goals. And we talked about how a lot of folks can reach outward goals and thus obtain to a certain level of satisfaction in their life. But it is only external. There are people that are very satisfied with natural things. If the natural world is going well for them, if things are working out for them, if they got the money, if they got the things that they were wanting in life, they become satisfied. And yet, their satisfaction is superficial. It's only outward. It's only natural. And there's more to us and our life than just this physical world, just our physical life. We are spirit beings. We are spirit beings. We are a spirit. We have a soul. And we live in these bodies in this world. And sadly, many people neglect the inner part of their life, which is the main part of their life, their spirit, their soul. And they focus on their body. They focus on material things. They focus on natural things. So they have a very superficial satisfaction. They're satisfied on the outside while completely miserable on the inside. People can be satisfied, smile on the face outwardly, and yet inwardly miserable, and not even realize it. They don't even know it because they're so out of touch with the real them. They're so out of touch with their spirit, with their soul. They're just so in touch with this natural world, they don't even know themselves. I don't want to go through life ignorant of who I am. I want to know the real me. I want to live from the real me. I don't want to just live some superficial life. We want to live a much deeper life than that. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19, it says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Notice that. If in this life only we have hope in Christ. We have hope in this life in Christ. God's got a long, healthy, happy, satisfying life for us to live in this life. We have that hope in this life, in Christ. But if that's all we have is a happiness that is according to this earthly life, then we are pitiable. Or as like another translation says, most miserable, most miserable. We saw over in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 13, where it says, even in laughter, the heart, talking about the inner part of our being, the heart may sorrow. So notice that. There's laughter, there's partying, there's this good time, everybody's happy, things look like they're going great, things feel really good. People are feeling good. And yet, the heart may still be sorrowing. The heart may be grieved. And the end of mirth, entertainment, amusement, may be grief. So, a lot of times people, you know, will drink and they'll do all kinds of stuff and they're just covering up pain, covering up all this shame that they have going on the inside of them. And a lot of folks, they don't want to face those. That's why a lot of folks do drugs. That's why a lot of folks do a lot of different things in this life that are not good for them. It's very obvious it's not good for them. Why do they do it? Because they're trying to drown out the pain, the inner sorrow, the inner grief. But the answer isn't drowning it out. The answer is getting it out. And getting free of it, getting delivered of it, getting your heart happy. You can get your heart happy. You can have peace of mind, peace in your soul, peace in your spirit. You can have peace and joy that is from the inside out. You don't have to cover up the pain. You can fix it. Yet not you, but the grace of God. God wants to fix inner pain. He wants to fix you up on the inside by filling you up with himself, with his goodness, with his life, with his peace, with his joy. He don't want us to live a life where we're outwardly, continuously being thrilled, but yet inwardly we're unfulfilled. We don't want to just live a thrilled life. We want to live a fulfilled life. Right? That is a true satisfied life. That's the kind of life he has for us. A satisfaction that is from the inside out. We saw that the church over in the book of Revelation, the Lord said to them, he said, you say, this is Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. He says, you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. It's all external stuff. Right? Riches, wealth. Man, I don't need anything. I don't need anybody. And do not know. Everybody say, do not know. Do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Notice that. You are miserable. But you do not know. You don't know it. You could be miserable and not even know it. Now, that's not a good place to be. No, we got to face the misery and get it fixed. Get it fixed. We don't want to be miserable, wretched, poor, blind spiritually. We don't know what end is up. It looks like we have our act together in the natural, but it is in fact just a act. And we're just the performer. And the biggest audience we're performing for is ourselves. Putting on this big act for ourselves. Pretending to ourselves to be something that we're not. And really, you know, when we talk about pride, and the Bible has a lot to say about pride. Jesus came to redeem us from the pride of life, the pride of the devil. And pride believes lies about itself. Pride believes lies about itself. It thinks things about itself that is not real. But humility is walking in the reality of who you really are. But a lot of folks won't walk in humility because they don't have the courage to face it, to face who they are. And the way you get the courage to face who you really are is to have faith in who He really is. And you understand that God is great, God is big, and God is for me. So I don't have to be great. I don't have to be big. I got a big God watching out for me and taking care of me. I got a big God who's ordering my steps. He'll deliver me. He's with me in trouble. He says, no weapon formed against me will prosper. I don't have to act like a big shot. I don't have to defend myself, protect myself, bully people, try to act like I'm something I'm not, trying to put on a facade. No, I can walk by faith. And when you have faith, you don't have to have a facade. You can get real. You can get down to business. You can get down to the real you and be humble before God. Walk in reality. Walk in reality. Be able to look at your weaknesses and have no fear. Be able to look at your weaknesses and have no sense of inferiority. No sense of inferiority about you whatsoever because of your faith in the greater one. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Have faith in the greater one. You won't have any inferiority in front of anyone. You won't feel inferior to anybody because of the greater one. He's in you. Oh, hallelujah. Do you have the greater one in you? Yes. Glory be to God. So we can walk in humility, walk in reality. We can resist the pride of this life, the pride of the world that people are wearing to cover up their weaknesses, cover up their nakedness. Thank God we're not naked. We've been clothed with the righteousness of God. Right? We've got the armor of God on. We got His robe of righteousness. We've got His armor. We are clothed with Jesus Christ. The Bible says, put on the cloak of humility. I mean, there's so many things to put on. We're just walking around. We're wearing so much stuff. But you see, the world's running around naked, and they're trying to figure out what to do, so they're putting on facades. They're still grabbing the fig leaves. Just like Adam and Eve in the beginning. They're still grabbing the fig leaves. See? Let God clothe you. God's my clothing. Shine with His glory. Be lit up with Him. Be covered with Christ. If you're under His covering, then you know everything is covered. No worries. No worries. Don't have to worry about your life. Don't have to fear for your life. Don't have to run and hide and try to save yourself and protect. No, He's my salvation. He shows me His salvation. He shows me His deliverance. He's with me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Amen. Now, sadly, He said it to the church. He said, you guys, you're running around. You've got your eyes on material things. And you're judging yourself according to these material things, according to the flesh. And you don't even know your true condition. So your satisfaction, your peace is superficial. Your sense of security is superficial. But you and I can have an eternal security that is solid. That is solid. and trustworthy. We can depend on it. Can you say amen? So we don't want to be like this church here in the book of Revelation, where we're putting on something on the outside and not paying attention to who we are on the inside. We want to pay attention to who we are on the inside and get that all cleaned up, get that fixed by bringing who we really are to the Lord. You know, a lot of folks can't even bring who they really are to the Lord. You know, a lot of times when it goes to praying, they turn into someone else. There's a lot of churches when the people come together, they become something else. And they just, I don't know, they just become something else. They don't do that any other day of the week, you know. There's no E-I-E-I-O's any other day of the week. They just, but when it comes to church, they put on these facades. People pray, oh God. I mean, people, their voices change and everything. It's the most amazing thing. That's why these heathen that had these pagan gods, you know, they would set up these altars and have these stairs, and you'd walk up the stairs to approach your God. And God told the children of Israel, he said, you don't build an altar to me with stairs. You're not going to come climbing up this stair. It's like a little pompous thing. And come up and present yourself before me. No, 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 no. We humble ourselves before the. We're not climbing. We're not exalting ourselves in his presence. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And then he lifts us up. We don't walk up to him. He lifts us up. He sits us next to him. He sets us on high. We don't set ourselves there. We don't get ourselves there. But he will take us there. If we'll trust him and we'll humble ourselves before him. So we don't, you know, we don't want to have this superficial worship. But again, people, they don't even, when it comes to praying, they're not even in touch with themselves when they're praying. But if we'll get real, how do you get real? Ask God. Because you can't even do that good. Right? We need help with everything. Lord, help me to get real. Help me to be real before you. Praise God. You know, a lot of folks talk about getting free of drugs and getting free of this and free of this and free of all kinds of things. The greatest thing you can get free of is yourself. Getting free of me. Learning to get free of me is the greatest freedom of all. Because you get free of yourself, you get free of pride. You get free of self-deception. You get free of believing lies about yourself. Oh, hallelujah. And you just get down to the truth. I love the truth. Jesus said you'll know the truth. And the truth will. That's what's going to set you free, is knowing the truth. Not just about God, but about you. Yeah. See, we got to get down to the truth. If we don't get down to the truth about ourselves, then, you know, oh, look, God's prospering me and I got this great job. Look at all these great things that are going on. And meanwhile, we're becoming more and more poor. More and more miserable. More and more wretched. On the inside. And you know, you see that with some folks. I've seen it with Christians. You look, everything's doing great on the outside. It seems like things are getting better and better and better. But when I stand in their presence, I just see them full of holes. Just kind of like bread that is full of yeast. And that yeast has just eaten its way through that loaf of bread. Right? You know, you put yeast in dough. And that causes it to rise, right? Why? Because it eats all these little holes into the dough, and that causes air to get in there, and it puffs it up. See? And a lot of folks, they just get puffed up, but they're full of holes. See? They're just empty on the inside. They're just all puffed up. And look, their bread is rising. You know, bread. I'm talking about the bread. You know, they got bread. I mean, the bread is rising. The money's increasing in the account, you know. Things look great. Things are swelling. Oh, yes, they're swelling. Right along with their head. They're swelling. They're swelling in pride. And they're allowing this outward puffing up to define who they really are. We shouldn't define ourselves or find ourselves by looking to the flesh, according to the flesh. We find ourselves by looking according to the Spirit. That's why the Bible says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians the 5th chapter. We're talking about freedom. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Freedom. Real freedom. Yeah. Not just a feeling of freedom. a feeling of freedom that comes and goes, but real freedom, man. The real freedom that's deep down in him, man. I'm so free. Glory be to God. I got the victory. That regardless of how it looks, it could look like things are going flat on the outside. And yet on the inside, you feel the increase. You're getting stronger. You're getting happier. Right? I mean, that's what happened to me when I first got saved. You know, I had this business in New York. And, here I got saved. Things were going good. You know, money was never really an issue. And then I got saved. And next thing you know, man, my business started going down. My boat sunk. I mean, it was one thing after the other. All the natural things started going flat. I mean, all the... See, I got saved. So when I got saved, before you're saved, you're a big puffball, you know. You're not full of the Holy Spirit. You're like full of helium. You're full of helium, you know. You're just full of hellish helium. You're full of pride. You're just full of deception. And then I got saved. And right in the natural, the same thing happened. Everything started going flat. That doesn't happen to everybody. It happened to me, though. Everything just started going flat all around me. And one person looked at me and says, because I was really being bold about sharing, my faith. I was very excited about the Lord and I was sharing my faith. And they looked at me and they said, well, if everything you're saying is true, how do you explain what's happening here and there? And they pointed to all these natural things that were deflating. And with the biggest smile on my face in the first year of being saved, I just looked at him and I said, well, now I got an enemy. See, the devil wasn't my enemy before, but now I got an enemy. But I had a big smile because I knew the devil's under my feet, and I know I triumph and I always win. And really, those things didn't mean as much to me anymore. I just wasn't worried about it. I knew if God just delivered me and saved me, then I knew I was going to be all right. How many people know what I'm talking about? You just know it. It's going to be all right. So you don't judge things according to the flesh. Whether they're swelling or whether they're deflating, you don't figure out where you're at in life and where you're at with God by those things. Oh, I'm good with God. How do you know? Everything's going good. So then when everything seems to go bad, then what happens? God, what's wrong? What's wrong? What have I done? What have I done? Have I offended you? What have I done? What have I done? Who said you did anything? See, they're judging themselves based on their circumstances. We're not to judge ourselves based on circumstances, based on the flesh. We don't judge ourselves according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. According to the Spirit of God that lives in us, who agrees with the Word of God. The Word of God and the Spirit of God will help locate us in life. Help us to know who we are. Who we are. Where we're going. How we're doing. Over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says in verse 16, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. He is risen from the dead. He is gone. If we're going to know Christ, it isn't going to be according to the physical. It isn't going to be according to the natural. It isn't going to be according to the flesh. And therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. We don't judge anyone according to the flesh. We're not reacting to outward things. We respond by the Spirit. We respond spiritually to things. Not just react naturally to things. Why? Because of verse 7. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are new creations. We are spiritually alive unto God now. We are not just natural. We're not just fleshy. So no more judging according to the flesh. No more judging according to the flesh. That means no more reacting to what people say. That's why so many people get into arguments, they get into these big disputes, they get into these big fights, because they react to fleshly things. Why did you look that way? What did you say? Why are you acting that way? This, that, next thing. Looking according to the flesh. Looking at the natural. Looking at the natural. Looking at the natural and missing it. Missing what's really going on. We don't want to be people that are always reacting to the natural. We want to be people that respond to the Spirit. Respond to the Spirit. And then that'll keep you from overreacting to things. I've had people come to me,
my wife, she wants to divorce me.
I said, calm down. I said, just calm down. She's on an emotional roller coaster.
No, she said, this is it, it's over.
I know. Give her a few days. Just give it a few days. Would you do that? Just be quiet for a few days. Just be quiet for a few days. It'll all settle down. Are you going to do what I said?
Yeah, I'll do what you said.
Okay, great. A few days later, oh, Pastor, things are greater than ever. She's not going anywhere. She just loves me. We're the best of friends, praise the Lord. But you probably would have destroyed everything if you reacted to her, or at least caused it to just go on and on and on a whole lot longer than it needed to. Stop reacting. Is this just an emotional thing? Is this being spoken from this person's heart? Is this really coming from their spirit? Is God in this? You know, how much weight is behind all this? You know, it's the Spirit that gives weight to things. Things in the flesh are vapor clouds. They're lighter than a feather. There's no weight to fleshly things. It's the things of the Spirit that give weight, that give weight to us. You see that over in the book of Daniel, you know, concerning the king of Babylon. Daniel spoke a prophecy to the king of Babylon, and he said, you've been weighed in the balance and have been found wanting. No weight. No weight. He's up here. No weight. You've been weighed in the back. You know, a lot of folks will weigh themselves on a scale. But we need to learn to weigh ourselves according to the Spirit. Check your weightiness. How weighty are you? How weighty are your words? How weighty are your actions? How weighty are your prayers? How weighty is what you're doing? We want to have spiritual weight to us. How do you get spiritual weight? You grow in your faith. You grow in your faith. Faith is heavy. Faith has got substance to it. The Bible says faith is the substance of things. It's the substance of God is what faith is. It's a substance that is a foundation to our life. Foundations have to be heavy and strong, right? You pour all this concrete, you know, to create a foundation to build a building. That's what faith is. Faith is the substance. Faith is this foundational substance. It's this heaviness. It's this weightiness of God. And that's what we're to be filling ourselves up with so that we can walk in the glory of God, which is the manifested goodness of God. His manifested goodness, which when you look up the word glory, that also means heavy, weighty. So faith and glory, it's all heavy stuff because God's heavy. There's weight to God. He wants to make you weighty. He wants to make you heavy. He doesn't want us to be lightweights. He wants us to be so heavy that we're absolutely immovable. The only thing that can move us is God because we're so heavy. Devil can't move us. He comes running, bang, hits up against us and falls on the ground. Just like running into a boulder, running into a mountain. Devil just comes running, boom. Just falls flat on his face. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Amen. That's what faith will do to you. When I stand on the scale of heaven, I don't want to be found wanting. I said, I don't want to be found wanting. I want to be found heavy in God, full of God, full of the fullness of Him. Praise God. And that's, of course, going to cause you to have a fulfilled heart, to live a satisfied life, is to be full of Him, not just to be airy. full of holes. That's not how we're supposed to be. You can't help too many people like that. This church here that we see in the book of Revelation, you go to that church, how much could they help people? They were wretched, they were miserable, they're poor, they're blind, they're naked. How in the world are they going to help people? They're judging things according to the flesh. And yet they're a church, they're a ministry. Right? They're a ministry. And I mean, they got outreaches. And people are gathering on Sunday. And they're teaching the word. But they're miserable. They're poor. They're blind. They're naked. They're weak. They're in this pitiful condition. And yet here they are helping people. Helping people. How well can they help them? And such is much of the church world today. The focus is on external things. Meeting needs, reacting to people's flesh. Let's move on. Notice over here in Jeremiah chapter 8, Jeremiah the 8th chapter. Here were these ministers, and really they had become false prophets. False. They probably didn't even know they were false. They were fake. They were actors. They were performers. See? See, if you don't even know yourself, if you don't even know who you are, if you're indifferent towards your own condition, so that, you know, you're putting on an act to yourself, how much more are you going to be an act or a false person towards others? Just fake, just false, just not real. Just not real, not no substance, no substance. And I want substance, don't you? Now, I want substance. I want depth. We want to be solid. We want to be strong. We want to live satisfied lives. But notice what it says here in Jeremiah chapter 8, in verse 11. It says, "For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace." They're giving them this superficial peace. That's exactly what it says in another translation, the CSB translation. It says it this way. It says, "They have treated the brokenness of my dear people superficially, claiming peace, peace, when there is no peace." Just like in the book of Revelation, right? They got it going on. Oh, we have need of nothing. Look, you have need of nothing. Everything's peace. Everything's good. You're all taken care of. We've helped you with your finances. We helped you with this outreach. We did this for you, and we helped you. And so they are reaching out to help the hurting of God's people, but they do it superficially. It's lightweight stuff. People are getting happy, and they feel better. And they feel a sense of security and satisfaction, but it's external only. Has no depth to it. We got to get down into the real condition of people's hearts. We see that over in Luke chapter 11. Luke the 11th chapter, Jesus was talking about getting people delivered of demons. How people know if you go to a doctor and he pulls up your body on an x-ray machine. I've never heard this happen. Where the doctor looked at the x-ray machine and said, "Oh, you got two demons right here. You got two demons right here, right around this area of your body." And yet, Jesus saw them all the time, didn't he? He dealt with demons all the time when getting people healed, when getting people delivered. We live in a generation today where many people don't deal with demons. In fact, I heard one lady say, and unfortunately, you know, she was a leader over all these children. And her advice to them was that, you know, the reason why the Bible talks about demons concerning infirmities and sicknesses is because back then they didn't have medications. So they just didn't have medications. They didn't understand, you know, what we've come to understand today. So they just called it a demon. And that's the kind of advice that's being given out in the church world. That's what people are being taught, that these things aren't even real because they live such superficial lives. They don't even believe in demons, that demons are behind the problem. We don't want to get pulled in to that kind of perverted thinking. We want to walk in the reality of spiritual things. And yes, there are demons. And yes, Jesus defeated them. And yes, in his name, we can cast them out. That's what he said in Mark 16. He said, in my name, you will cast out demons. That's what he told his church after he rose from the dead. He said, now go forth, preach the gospel, get people saved. And he said, in my name, you're going to cast out demons. He said, he didn't say, in my name, you're going to medicate them. That's not what he said. He didn't say, in my name, you're going to medicate them. He said, in my name, cast out demons. Deal with the devil. So you got to go deeper. Thank God for medical science. You know, I'm all into medical science. I think medical science is a wonderful thing. I believe it's a gift from God. But you just don't stop there. I said, you don't stop there. We got to go deeper than that. We got to lay hold of the healing presence of God and the healing word of God. The Bible says he sent his word and healed them. Yes, he sends doctors, but he sent his word and healed them. Thank God. Doctors can help. But a lot of times doctors can come to a place where they don't know what to do and they start guessing. Or doctors get to a place where they tell you there's no hope. What are you going to say? Oh, there's no hope. You're going to agree with the doctor? Or are you going to say, oh, no, 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 no. I have hope. No, 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 doctor. See, where your ability ends, God is just beginning. We're not limited to man. Thank God for men. God works through people, but we're not going to limit God to people. I said, we're not going to limit God to people in any area of life. Wherever you might have needs in the natural, God wants to meet those needs. Don't put all the pressure on your employer. Don't put all the pressure on people. You keep your faith in God. You keep your trust in him, that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall provide for me. He is my prosperity. He will teach me how to profit. I'm looking to him. And many times he works things through the natural. We know that. But don't limit him to this person or this job or this customer or this thing. And yet people do it all the time. And it's superficial living. I said it's superficial living. Don't get pulled into the superficial. Stay over here in the deep. Stay over here in the spirit. Stay over here walking in the supernatural. Can you say amen? Amen. See, I'm gonna walk in the supernatural. Yeah, and how many want to help people? Yeah. We don't want to just help them superficially. Man, that irks God. Can't you see that in Jeremiah? It's like they're hurting they're helping the hurt of my people superficially, and then they're turning around and saying, okay, it's okay now, it's all better now, and they're like, oh, I feel so much better now, and they're walking around, and things aren't better at all. They're still going home with that devil. They're still going home deceived. They're still going home believing lies. We still haven't gotten to the root of the problem. All we've done is trim the branches. All we've done is shake some leaves. Don't that feel better? Oh, yes. We don't want to just settle for shaking leaves. We want to get down there, man. We want to get down to the root. Take out the axe of God's word. Right? Take out the axe of God's word. Start chopping that thing. And why don't people do it more? Because chopping can hurt. Why? Because you're going right to the heart of things. Them. No, let's say it this way. Because you're going right to the heart of their problem. Them. Huh? No, Pastor, I told you Margaret has an issue. Pastor, why are you talking to me about my love walk? I'm talking about Margaret's attitude. Why are you dealing with my lack of faith? Yeah. And a lot of folks don't want to feel that. They'd rather just get rid of Margaret. But the best spouse is the one that brings the worst out of you. Why? Because if it's in there, let's get it out. Right? Let's get it out. Let's find it. See, a lot of folks think Charlie's the problem. They think Charlie's the issue. They really do. They think Charlie is just showing up the issue. Charlie is hitting weaknesses left and right. When I'm at church with everybody and everybody loves me and they're shaking my hand, I feel great. And then I come home to her. And I don't know. I just can't. Well, you need to learn to. What do you mean? You need to learn to be able to stay in peace and joy. You need to learn to not be moved by other people's attitudes and actions and superficial, yucky behavior. I didn't say it feels good, but you can learn to weather that storm. You can become more solid. You can become more strong. You can become more steadfast in the midst of that storm. You can just let the storm cause your roots go down deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Instead of reaching out to Margaret, go deeper down into God. Go deeper down into God. Get your roots down deeper. Stop reaching out for everybody's help. Help! Help! Facebook, we need help in here. My wife's acting crazy just last week, what she said to me. Help me! Nobody likes me. Nobody loves me. And then all the superficials come running in there. It's okay, we love you. We've always loved you. We've always thought you were great. Smiley face, thumbs up, punched. Bing, bing, bang, bang. Thank you. It's so good to know someone out there cares. You've really helped me today. Yeah, you've helped puff them up. So all you've helped them do is puff them up. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's what I do. It's just who I am. It's the battle axe. Go deeper, deeper. Let's go deeper. Deeper. Reach down into God. Let's find some scripture for this. Find God for this. Why don't we go pray? We could just go pray. We could, you know what we could do? We can go get our knees and say, "Oh, Father, it feels terrible in the house today." Shikalabasatata. I need strength right now. Strengthen me, strengthen me, strengthen. Yes, yes, Lord, thank you. Yes, a prudent wife is from the Lord. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for a virtuous woman. Thank you. Thank you that I shall dwell in a peaceful habitation and a secure dwelling and a quiet resting place. And I thank you that no weapon formed against me will prosper. If God be for me, who can be against me? Right? You build yourself up. Go sit in a corner, pray in tongues. It's better than, you know, being in the middle of the house going, "Oh, yeah. People think speaking in tongues sounds crazy. That's crazy. And then they go home. "You're not in this house. I'm not going to put up with it anymore." Now that's crazy. That's crazy, friend. That is crazy. You could trade that crazy in for Shangala Makasana Muchadarase. Shikelelelabasata. You need to trade that thing in. Everybody speaks in tongues. Some just do it in the spirit and others do it in the flesh. But everybody's speaking an unintelligible language at some time. Can you say amen? Might as well build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when you face a wall, just shout. If you got the substance of God in you, it'll flatten that thing. That wall will go down flat. The weightiness of heaven and your shout, whoosh, just flatten it. That's what happened. People, you know, they cartoons and stuff of the walls of Jericho, you know, they shout and the whole thing crumbles to pieces. That's not what happened. If you read the Bible, it didn't crumble to pieces. The Bible says the walls went down flat. They went right into the ground. They didn't crumble. They just went straight down into the ground. That's the weightiness of God. These city walls. God just sat on them. When they shouted, they were so full of faith. Those walls didn't intimidate them. They marched around those walls. They did exactly what God told them to do. Did it 7 days in a row. Just marched around the wall. Didn't even say anything. There's a military in there. They can come running out and be charged by this military. They didn't worry about it. God said, march around the wall. We're going to do it for 7 days. Just walk around. Not say, well, don't say anything. That's a real good one. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Just be quiet. Just be quiet. Can you be quiet for 7 days? Just something to think about. So, can you be quiet for 7 minutes? I know you can. Just be quiet. And they just quietly walked around the walls, you know. And on that seventh day, they were so full of confidence. So, and they saw it. You know, every day they walk around, they're not being attacked. Nothing's happening. Nobody's hurting them. They get up the next day, do the same thing. They start realizing, these people are afraid of us. These people, we're marching around their city, and they're in there scared. They know God's with us. They know God's with us. We ought to know God's with us. If they know God's with us, we ought to know God's with us. And they started realizing their true condition, man. They started realizing God is with them. And then on the seventh day, they gave a shout. They went around seven times on the seventh day. And instead of getting weary and worn out and fleshy and irritable, man, they're just getting more and more fired up. Their faith is getting stronger and stronger. And so it seems like this is meaningless. This isn't accomplishing anything. You feel like you're not accomplishing anything. Just feel like you're just going around and around and around and around. Okay. Your shout day is coming. Your shouting day is coming. Just keep walking. Keep doing what you know to do. It's very mundane, very boring. Doesn't look like anything's happening. Doesn't look like anything's happening. And then on the seventh day, seven times around, and then they shouted, and then the weightiness of their shout flattened those walls. Wow. That was Old Testament people. We're a New Testament church. We've been filled with the Holy Spirit. We're born again, born of God. Got the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. Got the holy written word of God right here, Old and New Testament. Praise God. If they can walk in that kind of weightiness, how much more you and I? Yes, we can. Yes, we are. Yes, we do. We just determined to do it. We just make the decision. This is who I am. I'm a spiritual person. I've been made spiritually alive. I'm alive unto God. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to judge things according to the Spirit. I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God. I'm not going to be controlled by my flesh or the flesh of anybody else. I say how things are going to be. And I have what I say. Because God is with me. God is with me. Can you say amen? Amen? So here, you know, over in Luke 11, Jesus is talking about getting these devils cast out of people. And he makes this statement over in verse 25. He says, after the devil has been cast out, the Bible says, and when he comes back to the place he was cast out of. He finds it swept and put in order. Otherwise, the guy's got his act together. It's a class act. He's got his act together. His life is cleaned up. I got clean. They got cleaned up. Things got swept, put in order. That's a good thing. I said, that's a good thing. It was a mess before. Demon was cast out. He got cleaned up. Things got swept, put in order. But it was empty. He finds it swept, put in order. And then in, I believe it's Mark's account of this same account, it says that he was empty. So he was swept, put in order, but empty. Empty. Not filled. Verse 26. Then he, the demon, goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So they didn't help him at all. They made things worse for him. Because they didn't deal with the heart, they didn't deal with the spirit, they didn't deal with the root of the problem. We got to learn to deal with the root of the problem. You know, we all have to deal with the devil. The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee. A lot of folks don't even want to talk about the devil today. You know, he's become such a cartoon, fairy tale, fictional character that the church feels uncomfortable talking about him. But not us. He's our enemy. He's our enemy. And we're in here being trained. And we're understanding, no, it's not Darth Vader. There is a real devil. There is a real devil. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And thank God you and I can rule over him. Can you say amen? Amen. But the way we rule over him is by being filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to be filled with him. Filled with God. Filled with God. Filled with him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Spend time with him. Pray. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Become a more discerning spiritual person. And a lot of folks, a lot of Christians, they'll get there. They'll have that if they just simply don't settle for the superficial, carnal, fleshly life, thinking that that's normal. Your real satisfaction in life is not just in natural things getting better for you. It's by you getting better. You becoming better. You being better from the inside out. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.